Hi again. Amen. So actually, I'd rather be sitting where you are. But our brother David had to be with another church on the West Coast. So I get to take his spot for this one. So pray for me. Much grace. Hopefully you're not tired of hearing from me. We continue our journey a little bit more. And I think just to mention song 18 and 19, I really appreciate these two hymns. Actually, I think Brother David put this one in there. And I was wondering, why did he put that one in there? That's a good response. When the Lord says, "Where are you?" Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. Just spending time just to get to know you. Just draw near. Reveal your heart, show me your purpose. Keep dispensing into me. So when the Lord asks us where you are, I said, Lord, I'm here. Keep dispensing into me. It reminded me of Samuel when he was smaller, right? He didn't know the Lord's voice yet. And every time Jehovah called Samuel, he'd run over to Eli. Eventually, Eli didn't quite understand what was going on, but he figured it out. And then he told him, he instructed this young one what to say. Next time Jehovah calls you, say, I'm here, right? It's not saying exactly, but he says, speak, for your servant is listening, right? Amen. Where are you? Amen. So where have you been since the last time I left here? Have you been in the spirit or in the flesh? Actually, probably, I would say most, little of both, right? It's a learning, right? We're learning. With Abraham, there is his failures and his successes, his accounting. This particular message is in Romans chapter 5. Very experiential in a sense that when the Lord speaks something in the Bible, it is not impossible for us. He wouldn't speak something that would be impossible for us to do. Okay, but that's not to say that we go and do this according to our own effort. We know what that ends up in, right? That ends up into failures. So when Lord speaks something, and this is actually one of the highest experiences in life, reigning in life. Do you believe that you can reign in life?
Amen.
Amen. Very good. Actually, we need that believing. That believing is God infusing himself into you, right? You're reacting to that. Yes, Lord. You believe in life, and that is accounted to you as righteous. Reigning in life. Hallelujah for reigning in life. Actually, I think I will share this. I shared this with the serving ones this morning. When you read chapter 5 last night, did you notice any two words in particular? Repeatedly. Chapter 5. When you had cabin time, did anyone? Actually, one brother picked it up very quick this morning. The words much more. Much more. Hallelujah for much more.
Amen.
We see in the Gospel of John that he came as life and grace, but we see in the book of Romans this is actually developed much deeper. Much deeper in the book of Romans. That to the extent that even the Gospel of John did not say that we reign in life. It did not say that grace reigned. Actually, it didn't even say this word super abundantly. Do you remember that word last night? Grace reigned super abundantly with grace. So really, the book of Romans shows us this advanced experience. And this experience of reigning in life is meant for all of us. Meant for all of us. Do believe that you're meant to reign in life. Why? Because we are born as kings. Let's do this. I'm going to tell you the name of my children. Okay? The first one, the oldest, his name is God Has Given. A gift of God. The second oldest daughter is consecrated to God, Jehovah is God. The third one is My God is God. And my youngest daughter is a little lamb consecrated to God. And actually, when the little lamb was born, we sent out an email to all the saints. One brother responded. This is what he said. He said, "You are preparing them for the revelation of the high peak in their names. That is noble." Amen. We're all meant to be kings. We're born to be kings, reigning in life. And actually, I think I shared this story also, particularly related to reigning in life, with the youngest one. If you don't know the translation, Nathaniel, Elsie, Joel, Eliel, and Rachel, Elizabeth. That's the translation of the names. All had E-L in them, right? All E-L. All have God in them. So when I first, this first story that I mentioned happened in 2019 at a graduation. It was a graduation, and I think if you heard this story, hopefully you don't mind me telling it again. Kindergarten, Longfellow Elementary School. Each young child had their first name and then a characteristic related to their name, right? So if you had the letter C, it was maybe Callista and careful, you know, something like that, all right? Or Tom and terrific, right? Each little superhero elementary school. Youngest daughter, Rachel. You can use many names for Rachel, right? Radical, rambunctious, all those different types. The teacher gave her the name Royal. Royal Rachel. That stuck with me. I was very impressed with that. All the other kids got, you know, careful, terrific, okay. She got Royal, which really, really signifies we are royalty. We are born to be kings. And I'm very thankful that hopefully in the month of May, when she goes to the sixth grade camp, she gets born into this kingdom. Right, she's the last one with the royal name, ready to be born to be a king. And that's what we're meant for. We're meant to reign in life. This is obtainable. This is absolutely obtainable. The Lord would never promise us something that could not be achieved. He would not tease us with such a word. You know, you can reign in life, but never provide a way to be there. That's why even as young people, we and all the other ones are meant to reign in life. That's our destiny. That's the highest experience of this complete salvation of God in Romans. Reigning in life. So I would maybe like to share, first of all, what reigning in life is not. Hopefully you understand that reigning in life is not to exercise control over somebody. Right? Maybe all the married ones, the married brothers say, "I exercise control over my wife." Actually, that's not reigning in life. Or I exercise control over this or over that. So it's not that. It's not having any particular authority, any particular power. But actually, what is reigning in life? It's a realm. Hallelujah. Reigning in life is a realm. And particularly from the title, if we look at message 2, can we read that all together? Message 2. Reigning in life. So I'd like to point out a couple things about the title. It didn't say reigned. Reigned is what? Past, right? Past. Happened in the past. I reigned in life. Okay, maybe you did reign in life. Or it did not say will reign in life. What does it say? Reigning. And if you know your English, hopefully you all do, that is a present participle, meaning it's currently happening right now. Actually, Reigning in life makes us, as from the last message, rapture ready. Remember the one taken, one left, one in the field, one taken, one left? They were what? Reigning in life. They may have reigned in life before, and they probably will reign in life in the future, but when the Lord came, they were found reigning in life. So again, where we are makes a big difference. So where do we want to be? We want to be those reigning in life. And this life is not the human life. It's not the physical life. It's not the psychological life. This is the very Zoe life of God. This is the indestructible life of God, the incorruptible life of God. This life is divine. This life is heavenly. This life is spiritual. And lastly, this life is royal. This life enthrones us as kings. Praise the Lord, we're going to be enthroned as kings. Amen. Not only in the future, but we can live this life today. We could be found in this condition of reigning in life today. Oh, praise the Lord for this life, for this realm. Okay, how about sisters? Can you read Roman numeral 1, please? Amen. Okay, let's turn to our books, and how about brothers read Romans 5:14. Let me see if I can give you the page real quick, unless you find it first. Page 10, thank you. And then sisters, Romans 5:17. How about we read that one more time when it gets to much more? Be real loud on the much more. Ready? Amen. 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 Very good. Romans 5:21, everybody. Praise the Lord for Romans. It's a book of much more. Hallelujah for this much more salvation. So here in this outline point, it says that outside of the realm of God's salvation, sin and death reign as kings. Reign as kings. And, you know, we see in these verses that this death, this reigned where? Reigned in this person called Adam. That's why we're very actively telling you, get out of Adam, right? Because the only thing found in Adam is death and sin. Sin and death. That's the only thing that's found in Adam. So we want to be those not living in Adam, not found in Adam at all. Because the only thing that reigns there is sin and death. Actually, what does sin and death do to us? It rules within us and actually overcomes our will to do good. We want to please God. We want to make God satisfied. But in ourselves, there's no possibility for us to do that. So these two, they're kind of like co-kings ruling in our flesh. So if you touch your flesh or in your flesh, they rule. They rule supreme. It says they reign. This is their kingdom. This is where they rule. This is where they do whatever they want. So even if you wanted to read the Bible, you know what if you want to read the Bible according to your flesh, it's like, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to read the Bible this year. I'm going to get through it finally. If you do that in your flesh, what's going to happen? The ones who are ruling in your flesh, sin and death, are going to say, I'm not going to let you. Because the sin and death are much stronger than our will to do good. And in this realm, they rule supreme. So did you ever have the experience that when you come to the meetings, you're tired? Right, you might be tired right now. It's like, boy, I hope he finishes so we can eat lunch. Maybe you're in your flesh. Because there, these two co-kings won't let you listen. Don't want you to listen. They tell you you're too tired. He'll be done soon. Then we have some good time afterwards. And then this afternoon when rec time is, you guys are, right? You got so full of energy. Where did that come from? Came from the flesh, because it'll let you do anything you want, right? So these two rule as kings within our flesh, right? Actually, do you know the word carnival, the where it came from, what the meaning of carnival? You know what a carnival is, right? What's a carnival? It's like you have all these events, your food, and all these activities. It's the real meaning is to stir up your flesh. Carn. Yeah, carn. Incarnation, flesh, carn, carnival, con carne, you know those words related, stirs up your flesh, right? So anytime in your flesh, when you want to do the things of God, these things will rule over you. They'll just stop you. Read the Bible, sing, listen to a message, whatever it is. So we need to be those exercised all the time to realize that these two are reigning. We need to have this realization that these two, sin and death, reign in our flesh without any control. There's no way to win. Absolutely no way. So when we're in our flesh, we're automatically defeated. So we need to be those who are in our spirit. And we were born into Adam. So we have this Satan, sin and death, injected into us, in our flesh. And I just want to read this verse. Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. Did you know that you get paid in death? For those who work, you get paid in what, the US dollar, right? Everyone gets paid in some wages. But when you commit sin or do sin, your wage is death. You get paid in death. So any time that you're in your flesh, your payment is death. It's automatic. Like I said in the first message, there's two facts and two experiences. The fact that we're in Adam or the fact that we're in Christ versus the experience of in the flesh or being in the spirit. So again, the question comes up, where are you? We need to be those in the spirit, okay? So this reigning in life is absolutely different than reigning, having these two co-kings reigning in our flesh. Amen. Roman numeral 2. How about the brothers?
God's complete salvation is for us to reign in life by the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness.
Amen. And then, how about sisters? Can you read Romans 5:17? Before we get there, reigning in life, as I mentioned, it's not the rule over people, but it's actually the rule over sin, death, and even Satan himself. But you need to be in the right realm. You need to be in the right realm. So, illustration. What happens when I let my hand go? That's quite loud. Maybe I won't do that again. What if I do it from a lower position? What happens if I let my hand go? What if I do it again? What if I do this all day? What's the result? Yeah. How do I stop this from falling? Where? How do I stop this? How do I stop it? Ethan, come up here. What if I put your hand out like this? Why don't you turn around first? Why don't you just hold it there for the rest of the meeting while I finish? How long do you think that's to last? How long? Oh, man. They don't have much faith in you. How long do you think? What if he tries harder? What if he tries harder? Right? If he keeps trying harder, what happened? He keeps trying harder. Look at him. He's pushing. He's struggling. He's using his flesh. Actually, how do we keep this up? You can go back to your seat. What do we do? Huh? How do you get this to stop? It's just going to keep doing this. Over and over. See how much it causes other damage, too. How do you get this to stop? How do you get it to stop? No, but I want to try. I want to keep it up, right? I want to keep it up. How do you get it out? There you go. Get it out of this realm of gravity. He got the answer. He says, you have to get it in space. This is the point. Okay. This is the point. As much as you try, it's going to do this. It's going to do this. You have to get this into space. In space is another realm. In space, there's no law of gravity. Gravity has no effect on this Bible. You take it up there, it's not coming down. Right? Same with our spirit. Same with reigning in life. When you're reigning in life, you're in another realm, another place. Again, the question, where are you? We want to be in this realm. We want to be outside the realm of sin of death. We want to be reigning in life above all these things. Reigning in life is transcendent, and it's meant for all of us. If you're in sixth grade, fifth grade, if you've been in the church for 50 years, if you're in your 80s, whatever it is, we're all meant to reign in life. Amen. Not just in the future, currently, right now. Like I said, if I had a way, I'd blast this thing up into space. And then it would be outside the realm of gravity. In the same way, we have a means, a way to blast ourselves out of sin and of death. That's our spirit. There we transcend. We're above everything. Sin and death has no effect on us, has no dominion over us. We, what? Reign in life. Like I said, the book of Romans is like the advancement of the Gospel of John. You know, there it had life and grace, but here it's developed to a point where we're reigning. Reigning in life. Reigning by grace. Superabounding. Paul uses such words, superabound. Reigning. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so the verse that the sisters read. Sisters, can you read it again? Sorry. Refresh us. So actually, the Lord gave us two absolutely wonderful provisions for us to reign in life. And there are aspects of his very person. One is his grace, and the other is righteousness. Both of them are gifts, and both of them are given to us abundantly. So in one sense, we have no excuse not to reign in life, because we have everything we need. So if you paid attention when the sisters were reading, and if hopefully... What was mentioned first? The abundance of grace or gift of righteousness? You can look back if you want. What is it? The abundance of grace. In your logical mind and mine, you might have flipped that. You might have said gift of righteousness. And then the abundance of grace. But actually, the Lord didn't flip it. He started off with the abundance of grace. Why? Actually, again, that shows, actually, this is very representative of the Lord's table. Remember the Lord's table? You have the bread, you have the cup. Which one do you partake of first? Why? You would think in experience you would partake of the cup for sins and redemption, right? You would think that's first. Why would we partake of the cup first? Or the bread first? Because why? Actually, that was God's original intention, as us to have life. So in the same way, in the same principle, grace is God's original intention for us. But there's also the backup, just in case we're not enjoying grace, we have the gift of righteousness. Amen? Okay, so but these two are just aspects of God himself. Let me see. So this grace reigns as a king within our being. And grace is just God being everything for us and doing everything for us. In 2 Corinthians, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Meaning that his grace is sufficient for you to fulfill God's purpose. And what he was really saying there, the Lord, when he said, "My grace is sufficient for you," he was saying, "I am sufficient for you. I am what you need." So that shows us that we need to take the Lord as our source in all things. When we take him as grace, we can reign in life as kings. Let me read this definition. Grace means, this is wonderful. Grace means you cannot do what God requires. Let me read that one more time so you get it. Grace means that you cannot do what God requires, but the triune God can. So, like the last session, we saw that Abraham tried to do something, didn't work, right? But when he believed, that was accounted to him as righteousness. So, the same way, grace is just God himself doing everything. And also says, grace means we cannot be what we should be, but the one within us who can be this. So grace is just God being everything for us and to us. And we must be those who are enjoying this grace, being filled with this grace. We can't reign if we're short of grace. We can't reign if we're short of grace. So what does this verse say that we need to do? We just need to try harder. Have we all read the verse again? What does it tell us we need to do with this grace? Have we read the verse together? What do we have to do? Receive. Yes, very much. We just need to be those receiving. I think the Lord, he made everything so simple. No doing, no struggling, no self-effort. Receive. Can you receive? So in our small group, we said what? So simple, but maybe not so simple. But actually, it is simple. Be those receiving. If you could just turn to the Lord, right? In that song, "Lord, I'm here. Oh, Lord, I'm here. Lord, keep dispensing yourself into me." When you're in this realm, like I said, this is a realm. It's another place. You're not under the rule of sin and death. You're in a transcendent realm. You may be there like the woman working in the field, working in the mill, just working, just doing your normal job. You may be on the school bus just riding the school bus, but you're in another realm. You may be sitting next to a brother on the bus. One's taken, one's left, because you're in another realm. Again, where you are makes a big difference. We need to be in this realm of reigning in life, this highest experience of this life within us, this indestructible life. So this life comes about by God doing everything and being everything for us. His grace is sufficient for us. On the other hand, there's the other provision. What's the second provision? The gift of righteousness. Praise the Lord for the gift of righteousness. But before I go there, I wanted to read Romans 5:15 real quick. It says, Romans 5:15 says, "But it is not that as the offense was, so also the gracious gift is. For if by the offense of the one the many died, much more the grace of God and the free gift in grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded to the many." You know, this word abound, and I always love to look at the Amplified version of the Bible. It mentioned here, it says, because the gift of grace overwhelms the fall of man. That's the Amplified version translation, you know, where it talks about this free gift of God, that what does this grace do for us? It overwhelms the fall of man. So it takes care of all the problems of Adam. It gets us what, it washes us away out of this realm of sin and of death where Adam is, and brings us into this transcendent realm of life. And it says, this grace overflowed to many. This is the grace. Oh, actually, I wanted to, did I have that word? Abundant. Before I go to abundance. I think that was it, the abundance. Overwhelms, overflows, right? Super abundant. This grace is so sufficient for us to reign in life. But we need to be those receiving. Again, the second aspect is the gift of righteousness. This is actually when we are those living in the flesh, that we can actually even apply that principle, either of the Lord's blood to cleanse us from any unrighteousness, or as the subjective aspect of Abraham's justification, where we're just believing into God and get it counted for to be righteous, you see. So every time we fall away from God, because actually when man fell, that was the definition of falling, was being away from God, right? Man didn't actually like trip or fall down. He was just away from God's presence. So we have these two provisions. We have this abundance of grace, and we have this gift of righteousness. So whatever condition we're in, if we're enjoying the Lord, we get more grace. If we happen to stumble, hallelujah, we have this gift of righteousness. Amen. Which brings us back to the point where we can receive more grace. Oh, praise the Lord for grace. Amen. Praise the Lord for this gift of righteousness. Amen. Like I said, they're both gifts. They're free. You don't have to do anything. You just have to receive. Amen. Actually, on the way here, yesterday, I wanted to treat the ones that are in our car to some boba. And the one sister said, "No, I want to pay." And I said, "It wouldn't really be a gift then." Right? You just need to receive. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to do anything. You know, with the Lord's life, he never intended man to do work for him. He just wanted man to be what? Receive. So we need to be good receivers. Receivers of who or what? The grace of God. This abundant grace. And like I said, the other provision is the gift of righteousness, which puts us right back to our status of receiving this grace. Hallelujah, we can be those reigning in life. So how about the brothers? I kind of spoke on these, but we'll read them anyway. Point B. Brothers, can you read that?
To us in a practical way.
Let me say this. Grace is a person. You know the story of Zacchaeus? The story of Zacchaeus. In the same way, this grace is a person, and the Lord is a person. In Luke 19:5, the Lord said, "Today I must stay in your house." Remember that whole story with Zacchaeus? He couldn't see him, so he went up. And he said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, today I must stay in your house." Why did he want to stay in his house? Zacchaeus was not the most outwardly, the most, he wasn't admired. He was a, you know, deals with taxes and tax collectors, so everyone kind of despised him. He probably cheated people out of their money. The Lord says, "Today I must stay in your house." But later on in verse 9, he says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Actually, when you put these two verses together, when the Lord says, "Today I must stay in your house," and then verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house," equals salvation isn't a thing, grace isn't a thing, but salvation and grace is a person. So this person is living within our spirit. So when we're those touching our spirit, living by our spirit, we could be those reigning in life. Because this person is in our spirit. Just like Satan himself is in our flesh. That's the fact again in Adam, that he just dwells in our flesh. He's just there. So the more we live in the flesh, the more we are paid in our wages of sin and death. But as we're those in our spirit, we'll be those who can reign in life. Okay. Point B. No, we read that. C, sisters.
Amen.
I'd actually like to point out two things here. Let's read Romans 5:10 and then 5:17. Okay, 5:10. Amen. And then 17.
For by the offense of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So this point again in C says, when we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we experience God's complete salvation, which equals our reigning in life. As we mentioned earlier, that in Genesis 3:9 was just the beginning of our salvation. When the Lord said, "Where are you?" Man had fallen, man had been away from God. But as we have seen that we need to advance, this gospel is more than just eternal perdition. This gospel makes sinners sons of God, which eventually what constitute the body of Christ. So God's salvation is full and it's complete. It has a judicial part and an organic part. Hopefully we're all today experiencing this organic aspect of his salvation, being saved in life day by day. So that's why it says in Romans 5:10, much more, hallelujah, for much more, we are being saved in his life. But eventually, Romans 5:17 says, much more will be those what? Reigning in life. So the more that we are saved in life, the more we reign in life. So again, our salvation is not complete. We need to be those progressing towards reigning in life. Even though I say that's not a future event, but in full it will be. But today we can be those reigning in life. I don't want you to think you can't reign in life today. You absolutely can reign in life today. But the full effect of it will be when you reach this full maturity. when we're completely saved. All right? Hopefully you know what I mean by completely saved. In one sense, when we believed in God originally, we were saved from eternal perdition. Our eternity has been determined. But as believers, we still have to grow and be saved from our natural thoughts, our natural choices, natural disposition, the way we think, the way we feel. God's saving us. So he's advancing from our soul into our spirit. Eventually, even our mortal body will what be swallowed up in this life. So again, we have this full and complete salvation. So I think part of our burden is that you would not stop with Genesis 3:9, that we would all be advancing further and further, have this complete salvation, that we would be those co-kings reigning in life. I think I'm almost done. How about we read Roman World 3 together? And brothers, A?
To reign in life is a matter of being ruled by the divine life within us.
Amen. Sisters?
To progress in God's complete salvation, we must continually receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness.
And brothers? Let me just add this last point to this. In Matthew chapter 8, there was the centurion. Remember the centurion? One of his servants was sick. And then the Lord said, okay, I'll come to your house. But he said, no, just say a word and my servant will be healed. Remember that? And the Lord was so impressed by that person. Right? At that time, the Jews always needed the physical touch, need the Lord to come and touch and heal. But this one actually said, you don't need to come. I have faith. You know, basically, he didn't say that, but that was what was issuing out. He had faith to believe that if you just say the word, you don't have to come and physically touch. You just say that word, and my servant will be healed. Okay. And the Lord said, nowhere in Israel have I found one with such faith. But before that, The key to this, the key to why he could say this, is he said, for I am also under authority, having soldiers under me. So he was saying that I am one who's under authority, so I know that this all works this way, he was kind of trying to say. He realized that him being under authority, everything worked in a particular way, which indicates to us that we need to be those who are ruled by the Spirit. When we're ruled by the Spirit, we reign in life. Like the song we sang, you know, the heavenly vision, reigning in life, being ruled by the Spirit, restricted and limited, reigning in life to bring in God's kingdom and realize the kingdom life. I believe that you're all co-kings. I don't believe you're too young to reign in life. I think you can reign in life in school, on the bus, at home, wherever you may be. I don't think there's anything to hinder you, except for you yourself, of where you be, of where you choose to be. Right? Moses says, choose life or choose death. Right? We can choose to reign in life. We can believe, actually that's related to the last message. We believe this, and this could be accounted to us, that we can reign in life. Amen. Like I said, I have no doubt that you all can reign in life at any time, anywhere, because you have this abundant gift of grace and this abundant gift of righteousness. You have all that you need to reign in life, to be what? Transcendent, to be out of this realm, amen. Out of the realm of sin and death. Amen. How about we do this? Let's sing song 19, and then we can have some sharing.